The next case is number 013928, Patrice Bouvaguet against Jean C. Bouvaguet. Mr. Shankshraft.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Counsel, my name is Tom Shankshraft, and together with my co-counsel, Andre Katz, we represent the petitioner and the appellant in this appeal. This appeal involves the application of the Younger Abstention Doctrine to a case brought under the Hague Convention on the International Aspects of Child Abduction and its domestic implementing legislation, the International Child Abductions Remedies Act. The district court in this case held that abstention was mandatory under Younger and that this case should properly be heard in Cook County Family Relations Court. We contend that the district court's judgment is erroneous and should be reversed for a number of reasons. First, every other federal court of appeals to address the issue of whether a properly brought Hague Convention case brought in federal court should be heard in federal court, and where there was a motion to abstain, has held that abstention is inappropriate. We've cited in our briefs the Eighth Circuit case in Silverman, which is recent, and the Second Circuit in the Grieve case, have both held that abstention in a properly brought Hague Convention case brought in federal court should be heard in federal court.
Now, Silverman was less than 1 year, just a couple of months.
That's true.
Now, what's the difference with this situation where there's been not only some time delay, but actually participation in the state court?
Looking at the statute, the treaty itself, Your Honor, there is no difference. The Article 12 of the Hague Convention has the same mandatory language about the return of a wrongfully removed or retained child. The only additional aspect of the Hague Convention is what is referred to as the settled-in defense. And if I can note, the only difference in the language is this. It continues on from the mandatory return of a child who's been wrongfully removed or retained. Under Article 12, it goes on to say that the judicial or administrative authority, even where the proceedings have been commenced after the expiration of a period of 1 year referred to in the preceding paragraph, shall also order the return of a child unless it is demonstrated that the child is now settled in its new environment.
Now, is that the difference? There's a proceeding, obviously, in federal court, because that's where this is filed, to make a determination of whether or not the child is settled. That's the difference between more than 1 year and less than 1 year.
That's correct, Your Honor.
So that would have to be done.
That would have to be done in federal court.
That's the first thing they'd have to do.
That's correct. And that actually is the linchpin of the district court's decision to abstain here. The district court indicated, and appellees have argued strenuously, that because a federal court here might have to hear some level of duplicative testimony regarding the settled-in defense, along with the plenary custody issues that would be heard in a state court proceeding, that Younger should apply. We have contended that puts the cart before the horse. A Hague Convention case is simply a preliminary jurisdictional issue. The issue here is whether that plenary custody determination should be heard in the courts of the United States, or a state court here, or whether that custody determination should be heard in France.
Why didn't you invoke your whatever right you might have to go into federal court here immediately?
Well, that's a slightly difficult question to answer, and I'll give you a brief chronology, which I hope will explain it. When you say immediately is a sort of a difficult point in time, and I like to run the court quickly through a chronology, which I think will help answer that question. Ms. Chin Bouvenet moved with the children from France to the United States in December of 1998, telling her husband at the time all along that it was in her intention to come to Chicago and train with United Airlines in her occupation as a flight attendant.
Yeah, I think we know that.
Okay.
She was going to go back to Paris when she was qualified to do that.
That's right.
And all this sort of stuff. But nevertheless, she kept this case in the state court for a year, participated in proceedings there.
Well,
and the state court really is always more familiar with these best interests of the child issues, all these sorts of things that come up in domestic relations cases and in the federal district court.
That certainly
would seem to augur for keeping this case in the state court.
Well, the problem is that Mr. Bouvenet only really became aware of his wife's intention, perhaps, to keep the children in the United States when he was served with the divorce papers in March of 2000. And there certainly is a period between March of 2000 and January of 2001 when Mr. Bouvenet did not file a Hague petition in federal court. And the answer to that, as simply as I can say it, is that Mr. Bouvenet retained a lawyer. You may have seen him on billboards and on the radio advertising for men's rights and other things, who gave him what we consider now to be poor legal advice. As soon as my co-counsel's firm was retained in January of 2001, immediately they undertook to institute a French Hague Convention application in February of 2001, less than a month later.
When was the second French divorce proceeding commenced?
The second French divorce proceeding, it was dismissed for want of prosecution in, I believe, August of 1999. The second proceeding was recommenced in May of 2000, I believe. I need to check their time. And that proceeding is ongoing. In fact, the French proceeding recently scheduled a preliminary temporary hearing on child custody in France in March 28th, I believe, of this year. So there are now competing custody. There's not a custody hearing here because it's been stayed because of the operation of the convention. But there are, the courts in France are entertaining jurisdiction. And Mr. Bouvenet has continued to contest proper jurisdiction in the United States.
Is he from the beginning of the lawsuit?
Yes. I believe that was the first motion he filed.
Now, I believe at some time during the Illinois proceedings, Mr. Bouvenet wanted to take the children back to France for a vacation for some reason. Am I correct?
Certainly, yes.
And what was the response of the Illinois court?
Well, it's my understanding that was opposed. And as soon as it became clear that Mr. Bouvenet was seeking custody of his children, there has been a dispute among the parties as to whether visitation would take place and where it could take place. Mr. Bouvenet obviously would like to see his children, and there has been a fair amount of visitation that has taken place in the United States, but the circuit court here has not allowed him to have visitation in France. The troubling aspect, along with the other circuits who have found that abstention in these cases are inappropriate, the troubling aspect of the district court's opinion in addition, is the effect it could have on other Hague Convention cases. And that's this. The district court's decision rests upon the applicability of the settled-in defense, as Judge Mannion pointed out. It's because Younger is mandatory, there is no discretion not to abstain if the prongs of Younger apply. And therefore, in any case in which a more than a year has elapsed from the time a child was wrongfully removed to the time that the Hague Convention petition is brought, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what the reason is for the delay, it strips federal jurisdiction from the Hague Treaty. There is nothing in the treaty's language, in the domestic implementing legislation, in the legislative history of the jurisdiction, and the hearings that went before what the jurisdiction should be in Hague cases, or federal abstention precedents, that supports stripping federal jurisdiction simply because a year has taken place.
Yeah, but if you get past Younger abstention, then you still run into just deference under Colorado River. And why wouldn't that apply here?
Colorado River
actually is a more easy fit than.
Certainly, a Colorado River analysis can be employed. The district court chose not to here.
Right.
But I think it commingles, the problem is it commingles two separate issues. First is the preliminary jurisdictional issue. It's simply a question of whether a child was wrongfully removed or wrongfully retained. In the purpose of the treaty is to deter, you know, the cross-boundary, essentially forum shopping in search of a more sympathetic court. And to allow, to simply for federal courts to say that we are going to defer to state courts in these cases, first of all, strips the federal jurisdiction that Congress afforded a petitioner whose child has been wrongfully abducted.
Well, a typical Hague type case, though, is one where if she would have run to America with this child and you would have immediately come in and filed in federal court, I don't see any problem there. But here, that seems like a perfect case for deference to all that's been going on in the state court. Everything there, this idea of whether they're settled in is really kind of a best interest of the child type analysis that a state court in a divorce proceeding is.
I don't believe that the settled in defense and the best interest of the child are synonymous. The settled in
it's not a perfect fit, but it's certainly there's certainly cousins, aren't
they? I would concede that there certainly are similarities, and some of the testimony, some of the evidence that would be applicable to one would certainly be applicable to the other. But the plenary the first question is whether that this case should be heard in Cook County Court at all. Because if these children were in fact wrongfully removed and or wrongfully retained in Chicago, there's no business having a custody determination in Chicago at all.
Well, given the fact that there is jurisdiction in both courts, if you're saying that if the petitioner chooses to file in federal court, it stays there until, in this case, because it's over 1 year, whether a determination is made whether the child was wrongfully, we'll call it, retained here, okay, as opposed to removed, because there seems to have been cooperative in the removal. Whether or not the children are settled in their new environment, it's a two-pronged finding after 1 year.
That's correct, after 1 year.
And it would seem, how long have they been here now?
They've been here since December of 1998. During 1999, they spent, I believe, about 50 days in France. But
as time goes on, the diminishment of proving that they're not settled, I guess that's the burden on the petitioner, continues. So I would say it's an uphill battle, but nevertheless one that you say has to be in federal court.
That's correct. It certainly, as time goes on and as these proceedings have gone on, it is an affirmative defense that a petitioner must respond to. Now, the respondent has the burden of proving that the children are settled in. But it is nonetheless an initial threshold question that is properly heard in federal court. If the federal judge, the district court, has the ability to say they either were not wrongfully removed or retained, or they are settled in which case, presumably, our petition would be denied. Children would not be sent back to France. Now, you still might have competing jurisdictional problems if you've got an ongoing French proceeding and an ongoing Cook County proceeding.
But that isn't resolved here, is it?
But that's not resolved here, no. The question here is where the children should be. And as I understand, jurisdiction over children, where they are, lends greatly to which court would have plenary jurisdiction over custody determinations. A final point that I'd like to make is that, as I understand the way Cook County, it is possible that the divorce proceeding can go forward here. They can be bifurcated while the Hague Convention petition is ongoing. So you can, the divorce action does not need to be stripped or stopped so as to determine the Hague Convention. I see I'm into my rebuttal time, so I will.
Thank you, Mr. Shankshire. We'll now hear from Ms. Feinberg.
May it please the Court. I'm here today representing the appellee, Jean-Chin Pouvenier. We believe that the district court's decision to abstain under the very unusual circumstances of this particular case was correct under the law of abstention as set out in Younger versus Harris, and would also be correct under Colorado River. As such, we ask that the district court's decision be affirmed. Based upon some of the questions that were just presented to my counsel, I'd like to take a moment to correct some statements. The original French divorce case that was filed in Montpellier, France, which is in southern France, was dismissed in December of 1999.
When were the children taken from France?
They were taken in December of 1998. And in the French divorce case in Montpellier, the husband, Patrice Bouvier, was the petitioner. By the time that the case was dismissed, he was the only one in France and the only one who could have moved their case forward or done anything with it.
But the children were taken when there was an outstanding temporary custody decree in force in France, am I right?
Oh, yes, Your Honor. There was. And it was done, the children were taken with consent, and my client went here. The case was dismissed. By the time Jean Chin Bouvier filed the case here, in February of 2000, their case in France had been dismissed over 2 months. The present case that's ongoing in France was filed May 25th of 2000. It was dismissed, went up on appeal, was allowed to, Dr. Bouvier was given the opportunity as of last June to reinstate that case. He has now reinstated that case as of November of last year, and it is coming up for hearing. Secondly, the other thing that I would like the courts to understand is while there can be in a divorce court a proceeding for the divorce itself to be granted while a Hague case proceeds, in effect, every issue that a divorce court would hear is intricately involved with another. Where the children's custody is determines what type of child support is paid, which may also determine the issue of maintenance, which may also determine the issue of how property is to be divided.
Well, wouldn't it be that the determination in federal court is confined to where the children should be pending all of these actions?
Wherever the Hague action is heard, whether it's in federal court or state court, the first issue that will be determined is, does the plaintiff meet the burden that he has to prove under the Hague of what is the habitual residence? Can he prove that the habitual residence was France?
Habitual, did you say?
Habitual residence is the Hague words for that. Right. The next thing that he has to prove is that the that he was exercising custody rights, then we get into several defenses.
Well, isn't it, wait a minute, isn't it this that the first, the thing that has to be determined, and obviously there are things that go into this that might overlap, but whether or not they were wrongfully, we'll say retained, since there seems to be cooperative where they came over. That's
yes.
One, and then the second part is, I guess, he says the burden is on the other party. I don't know whether
that would be me.
If that's true, maybe that's correct. Of whether or not the child is now settled in the new environment, and if you can prove that, then that's apparently where they will be maintained until all of this custody stuff is sorted out. I don't know which court, whether in France or in the United States. But
yes.
Isn't that all that this is done in federal court?
It can be. It can also be done in state court.
Oh, sure. But he didn't file there.
No, he didn't file here, and he did file in the federal court, okay, and after he had participated for 16 months in dealing with custody issues and dealing with where the children should be, remember that every state which governs its state divorce laws has a very important interest in custody and in protecting children from being moved from location to location.
And that would include France.
Yep, every state, Your Honor. But every state in this country has passed the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Act. And in Illinois, that act was passed in 1979 before the Hague was written and 9 years before the Hague was implemented with its implementing legislation.
One of the reasons we have federal legislation is because the states were very lax in their enforcement of the Uniform Act.
Oh, I think I would beg to differ with that because there's been tremendous
development. You'd be differing with a great deal of scholarship on that issue, wouldn't you?
Well, no, Your Honor.
And the legislative history of the Parental Kidnapping Act.
I understand the legislative history of that, and I understand how the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Act has evolved and how it has been further statutorily refined so that many of the states have passed the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Enforcement Act, improving issues that were of concern under the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Act. There are nine different components of the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Act in Illinois and in every state that are its purposes. And those purposes, three of them, relate specifically to the state interests involved here, to deter abductions and other unilateral removals of children undertaken to obtain custody awards, to facilitate the enforcement of custody judgments of other states, and to avoid jurisdictional competition and conflict with courts of other states in matters of child custody, which in the past have resulted in the shifting of children from state to state with a harmful effect on their well-being. These are important state interests.
No, we wouldn't have any jurisdiction over this if this were between Illinois and Ohio.
Absolutely, Your Honor. I agree.
So this is an international situation.
The international situation, and the fact is that the Hague, okay, is very much has as its goals those very same goals that are set out as the important state interests, and Illinois has those interests and has set out those important state interests before.
Well, he's chosen what he hopes is, I guess, a neutral court, which I guess is why there is the dual jurisdiction. You have the option of doing that. Now, I guess the question that I would have is what is your position about if the petitioner files there? Why he's late? You can give all kinds of things that he's done, which all go to where the children are settled, given the time that's gone by. But why should it be taken out of federal court if he has petitioned there? And this seems to be pretty mandatory that this shall be considered here.
Well, Your Honor, we believe that it should be taken out of federal court because of two reasons. Number one, because this is an important state interest. And number two, because there have been these proceedings that have gone on for such a substantial time. And because under Younger, Dr. Bouvenier can raise this in the state court and proceed with this hearing. Because of this 16 months of participation in the entire action, we believe that there should be deference given to the initial state court action. And I would ask the court to recognize that it's not just the settled-in exception under Article 12 of the Hague that the court, whoever hears this Hague case, will have to consider. Article 13 applies here. It is under Article 13 that you have the issues of whether or not there was consent or acquiescence. And I'd like to address the language of Article 13 because under Article 13, when a court is making a determination under a Hague as to which body should hear these actions. The specific language of the Hague says that a court is not bound to order the return of the child if the person or institution which opposes it establishes consent and acquiescence. So what will happen in this proceeding is that we will first be challenging whether or not there is habitual residence. In order to deal with the removal, whether it's wrongful or not, you have to determine what the children's habitual residence is. You must also deal with all of the people who are going to be testifying on the issue of whether or not these children are settled. You must also deal with whether or not there's consent or acquiescence in this case.
Well, that can be handled by either court, though. They're exactly three blocks away.
Yes, Your Honor. It can be handled by either court.
And the Congress has specifically given individuals like the doctor the right to come into federal court to enforce his rights as a foreign national under a treaty obligation that we have with France in a federal court. And Congress is very specific about creating that right. Well, he's done that. Why should we take it away from him?
Well, Congress gave that right to both. It gave concurrent jurisdiction to both the federal court and to the state court. So I believe that abstention makes sense in this case because of all of the duplicative testimony that will go on, because of the length of time that has gone on in this case and the participation in that. And if we look at Article 1 of the Hague, there are two purposes that are set forth under the Hague in Article 1. The second of those purposes is that contracting states, and we, the United States, are contracting states, will have their custody orders given effective consideration and relief. Remember that by July of 2000, Illinois entered its temporary custody order. It is the only temporary custody order that is the only custody order that exists as of this time. If the purposes of the Hague is set forth in its article, its twofold purposes, one is to return children quickly from a place that they are wrongfully removed, and the second purpose of the Hague is to facilitate the enforcement of custody judgments of other states. You would be serving those purposes by abstaining in this case, because it is Illinois which has that custody order in place.
Well, it says specifically, though, if there's over 1 year, we have these other provisions.
Yes, it does.
And it seems you're saying that because he participated to the extent that he did in the state court, they say because the guy didn't know any better, but that's neither here nor there, and the fact that there has been a temporary custody only in Illinois and not in France, that he has, in effect, waived his right.
Well,
or forfeited it, or somehow or other this petition that he filed should not be validated because he didn't exercise it soon enough or some other reason we'd have to write in here.
I'd like to say that, but that's not a fair statement under the Hague itself. I think those issues come into play in considering in this very unusual case whether or not the court should abstain under the particular circumstances of this case. We do not ask of this court that it make a ruling that in all cases where 1 year has passed before there's a filing of a Hague petition, that in all cases the federal courts would abstain. This case has very particular facts, and the Seventh Circuit has always reviewed its younger abstention cases and its abstention cases on a fact-by-fact basis. It is because of these facts that we would say, in this case, the case should be sent over to the state court. When we argue the facts of this case, we will be able to deal with what those facts mean. But until we get to that point in time, we believe that under Younger, all of the prongs of Younger have been met. We believe that the Colorado River prong test also favor us in allowing for abstention, and we would ask that this court see fit to affirm the decision of the district court to abstain in this particular case. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll make that a minute. So.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd just like to make a couple of points. The first is that the only participation that Dr. Bouvenet had in Illinois State Court, it was not of his choice. He was served, and it had only been in an effort to see his children, visitation. He has contested jurisdiction all along. He has not taken any affirmative measures in state court here that would serve to waive or strip him of the right he has as a federal national under the Hague Convention Treaty to seek redress in a federal court. He has not done anything other than to strip that jurisdiction. It is a petitioner and a plaintiff's choice of forum that you control, as long back as Cohens v. Virginia, the Supreme Court has noted that a federal court has no more right to not exercise the jurisdiction given to it than it does to usurp that which it does not have. All the doctor in this case has done is avail himself of a right and a remedy that Congress and the international treaty provides him, and it's simply that hearing that he is seeking. Thank you.
Thank you, Counselor. Thanks to both Mr. Schacht and to Ms. Feinberg for their fine presentations today, and the case will be taken under advisement.